It's an honor and privilege to be out here with you guys today. I was just down in Costa Rica with Lindsay Snyder. She's the owner of In-N-Out Burger. She invited my father and I to come out and do a chapel. You like In-N-Out? All right. Nice. I love In-N-Out. So with that said, we were out there. They were doing an event where they wanted to do a chapel for their employees down there. And I was sitting back there during worship in the back. And I was just reflecting back on my life over the last 19 years, all that God has done as I've been walking with him. Because I grew up, in Los Angeles with my dad being a pastor out there. And he's one of the original guys that, Chuck Smith during the hippie movement with the revival night or the revival in the tent. And then Chuck got 12 guys and discipled them and sent them out to plant churches. So he was part of the first 12, and he's 78. He's still teaching, big church, three services. I'm like, this guy's like the Energizer Bunny, never stops. But with all that said, I was just there reflecting back, tripping out, just going, man, what God has done in my life over the last 19 years, because I walked away from God from like a very young age, getting exposed to pornography and drugs and alcohol in school, and then going into the music industry and really running from God and producing music festivals and managing a professional skateboard team. And all that to say, after working in that industry for like the skateboard industry for about a decade, and then prior to that, music industry for like 10 years, I overdosed in a hotel room, cocaine, Xanax, and alcohol. And by God's grace, my mom's prayers and my dad's prayers, I came out of it. And that was in Costa Rica. Now here I am after 19 years of ministry. I'm sitting there in Costa Rica just going, man, what? I can't believe all that God has done and what he can do in your life if you just give your life to him and follow him. He's not looking for perfection. He's looking for direction. Like as in, if you are following him and you are heading to the cross. Look at all the guys in the Bible. You got the sons of thunder. Why? Anger problem guys. Peter, that guy had huge issues. What about Jonah? That guy. The list goes on and on. The Bible's full of imperfect people that God uses, ordinary people, to do the extraordinary. And it's through the power of the Holy Ghost in our life. So anyway, with all that said, a lot has happened in the last 19 years. I just followed Jesus. He said, follow me. He never told me where we were going because I would have been like, I fold. But he walked through and transformed my life and set me free overnight and just started refining me, and making me a new creation of Christ. It's pretty much that simple. Then he dropped this beautiful girl in front of me that I was like, huh? And she, is the opposite of me. She worked for Red Bull. She worked in the action sports, but more of like the behind operations where I was more in the party place of the action sports. And then she, when I met her, she was working in New York in Manhattan with the Winklevoss twins, the guys that started Facebook. They're all in the digital currency. So she worked part of that program. So like, yeah, she's the opposite of me, we'll say. But with all that said, we met and then God gave us kids. We had triplet daughters, Evelyn, Lillian, and Sadie Lynn. So we got pregnant with fraternal twins and then an egg split. Surprise. And then that happened. And then I had my son, Asher, and just a lot of twists and turns. Life's like a roller coaster, you know what I mean? And so here I am. I've just been following Jesus ever since. He says, follow me. I don't know where we're going most of the time, but he just leads and guides me every step of the way. And I just know I'm supposed to be right here, right now with you guys because he's leading me by his spirit. So there's so much in it. I wrote a book about 2 years ago. It came out. It's called Kill the Noise, Finding Meaning Above the Madness. It's a faith builder discipleship journey book. And it just walks you through with Bible teachings and practical stories, which you'll see the way I teach today. But it'll encourage you. If you have prodigals, if you've been in the faith a long time, you need to get revived. It's all original content. It's on Faith Words. Joel Osteen's on there, but I teach a little bit different than Joel Osteen. But anyway, with all that said, let's get after it. Today, let's turn to John chapter 12. We're going to look at a story of Jesus, the Messiah. John chapter 12, verse 31 to 33. So we know that Jesus Christ came on a rescue mission out of eternity to die for the sins of the world. God the Father sent his Son to planet Earth to show mankind Jesus, God in the flesh. He went from town to town, village to village, and preaching the gospel, right? And that's what we're doing with Revival Night. That's what we're doing with our school tour. We go to over 100 public schools a year and preach the gospel. We go in through the Bible clubs, we proclaim the gospel, and we see about 85,000 students a year give their life to Christ. So we've seen hundreds of thousands of students give their life to Christ over the last year. The harvest is ripe, but the workers are few. So pray for us for all that, but that's what Jesus did. It's the Jesus model. And now here Jesus is, he's predicting his death on the cross, and that's what we're going to pick up. In red text, which is Jesus' words, he said this, "The time for judging this world has come when Satan, the ruler of this world, will be cast out. And when I am lifted up from the earth, I will draw everyone to myself." He said this to indicate how he was going to die. So God is going to judge the sin of the world and defeat the work of Satan through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross. And the power of sin will be broken, so we don't have to live dominated by the work of the flesh and be a slave to sin, our body appetites. But the question is, what are our body appetites? And what does the Bible say about that? 1 John chapter 2, verse 16 says this, "They're the lust of the flesh, they're the lust of the eyes, they're the pride of life." It says, "These are not from the Father God, but of the world." Now, the lust of the flesh, it's your body cravings. What your body craves, and you go and snatch it up and partake of it. That's your flesh. The lust of the eyes, which you see, and you'll do whatever you can to get it. It's what your eyes see and lust after and want. And the pride of life, pride of achievements. When you're like, "I'm kind of a big deal. Check me out. I've done a lot. Check out my portfolio, my assets. I'm kind of a big deal. I'm feeling myself. I'm the vibe." That's what the pride of life is. But we know that Satan is the ruler of this world, and he uses these shiny objects that appeal to our body appetites to hook us to the power of sin. For illustration's sake, we know that Satan got kicked out of heaven. He waged war with God. And Jesus says, "I saw him fall like lightning to planet Earth." And now he's here with his minions, his demons, and he has a massive tackle box with all these shiny objects. And what he does is he gets these shiny objects and he casts them out in front of us. And we, as dumb fish sometimes, sooner or later, it looks good. We take a bite of it, boom, they pull, they set the hook. And you know, when hooks are set on bass or any kind of fish, are hard to get out. He sets the hook. And when he sets the hook, that's called a stronghold. It's called a foothold. It's called an addiction with a spiritual influence behind it. And it's hard to break. And you try to get out of it. You're like, "Why can't I break free of this?" And what he wants to do is he wants to entangle us in all our fishing, all of his fishing string. And those are the bondage that he wants to be a slave to sin. But by God's grace, who the Son sets free is free indeed. And we can repent and we can head to the cross and we can be forgiven and be filled with the Holy Ghost, because the job of the Holy Ghost is to purge and destroy everything that is unholy in our life. Jesus says in John 7:37, "I will give you the torrents of living water." Think about a tsunami, power from heaven coming down and destroying everything that is unholy in your life. We have access to that, to the reservoir of the living water. Jesus says he will give it to you if you believe. And if you want a relationship, you can come to him, he says. He continues in that verse. And we can live in freedom through the power and the work of the Holy Ghost flowing in and out of our life. It's called the Spirit-led life. The Holy Spirit is in us. He is with us. And his Holy Spirit power will come upon us and he will flow through us. In Acts 1:8, Jesus says to the disciples before going out on mission, he says, "And you will receive power when the Holy Ghost comes upon you." That word power in the original language is dunamis. It translates to dynamite. Dynamite, explosive power you will receive when the Holy Spirit comes upon you and you are submersed, when you are baptized with the fire and the power of the Holy Ghost. And when you're filled with the Spirit, you will be able to operate like an antenna and be able to piggyback off the power from the Most High God in heaven. It's like a Wi-Fi connection. If you have your phone and you have no Wi-Fi, it's really not that cool, right? It's not that useful. But when you get the Wi-Fi you're able to get the downloads and the Wi-Fi and all this stuff. It really is an amazing device. In the same way, without you having the Holy Spirit, you're really not that cool, to be honest. But when you receive the Holy Spirit, you are able to get the downloads. So if God is called the Most High, then I would call it the Most Hi-Fi connection. And when you are connected to the Most Hi-Fi, you're able to get the downloads from God through the Jesus and the Holy Spirit who abides in you. And those messages he's giving you are what he wants to do in and through your life daily. Because of the person of the Holy Spirit is in you, indwells in you, he will never leave you nor forsake you, Jesus says. He's with you wherever you go. So he gives us promptings and he speaks to us also through the promptings, like that game we used to play when we were kids. Red light, green light. Hey, God, should I go there? And then he's like, green light, go. And you have peace about it. And then you're entering a room and it's getting a little weird and sketchy. And he's like, yellow light, caution. He's in you. He's with you. He speaks to you. And then you might be going home tonight. And I say this because it's a big thing in the church and outside of the church. Pornography. Pornography is huge with women and men. And guess what? Barnabas Group said that Christian kids, they did a survey, and 50% of these Christian kids, they interviewed, says they watch pornography for sex education. Just chew on that for a minute. With that said, when you're going to your room, red light, but guess what? Some of us like to run red lights. So when you're connected to the Most Hi-Fi, he will give you downloads and he will speak to you and prompting. He will lead you. But because Satan is called the father of lies, he likes to connect us to the Li-Fi connection. And these two forces are constantly fighting. Satan likes to tempt us with the Li-Fi for the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. And these two forces are at battle. And I get that from Galatians 5:17. It says that the flesh lusts against the spirit and the spirit against the flesh. And the power of sin is what breaks the connection and quenches the flow of the Holy Spirit in our lives. So we can't get the downloads and pick up the signals. True or false? True. When you're not reading, praying, and abiding in the vine, then the spiritual man, you're not feeding him, so he's weak. So the flesh takes over and starts dominating. Whatever you feed the most is what's going to dominate in your life. The flesh or the spirit, the Most Hi-Fi or the Li-Fi. It's very simple. But what does the power of sin look like in our life? Well, a good illustration is that I like cotton candy and I like the pink cotton candy. So when I show up to a place and they have pink cotton candy, I get the biggest, fluffiest cotton candy ever. And then I look at it and it looks so fulfilling and I take a big bite and I put it into my mouth. What happens? Pebbles. So I take more. Pebbles, pebbles, pebbles. It looks so fulfilling, but it just dissolves and it's emptiness. And after about 6 bites, that's when I get sick and I decide to share my cotton candy. That is sin. It looks so fulfilling, but it makes you spiritually and physically sick. Then you have the monkey in the Philippines. When you go hunting for monkeys, they do. They get a coconut, they empty it, they put rice in it, and they attach a cord to it, a rope. And they put it in the jungle, the monkey comes up, puts his hand in it, and when they put rice in it, it's empty. He puts his hand in it, grabs the rice, and now he can't get it out. Now the monkey's jumping around, he's panicking because the hunter's walking over to him, and he walks up and grabs him and makes monkey tacos. And all he had to do is let go of the rice. So what's my point? Don't be a monkey! So how do we live in freedom and break the power of sin in our life? And how do we make ourselves right with God? Romans 3, 22 to 26. I'm going to read just 22. It says this. We are made right with God by placing our faith in Jesus. Period. And this is true for everyone who believes. No matter who you are, no matter who you are today, and no matter what you've done, all you have to do is put your belief in Jesus Christ, that he died on the cross and raised from the dead. And when you receive the person of the Holy Spirit in you, his job is to point you to Jesus, and he will tell you, I have more for you. You can do better. Satan is the condemner. He's the liar, and he's always telling you about all the things you should have done or wish you would have. And at night, he plays that video camera or that video screen of all the dumb things you've done and all your failures. That's condemnation. That's Satan, the father of lies, the Li-Fi connection. But the Most High with the Holy Spirit, he's always pointing you to Jesus and say, forget that. You're not going backwards. You know that verse in the Bible says, like a dog returns to its vomit, so a fool repeats his foolishness. I used to have a French bulldog, and he would eat fast, blah, throw up, and eat it again. It's disgusting. That's us. When we go back, we're not going backwards. We're going forward. And what direction? To the cross. We're heading to the cross daily. It's not about perfection. It's about the direction to the cross to deny self. So with that said, it all comes down to confessing, repenting, believing, and receiving the forgiveness of sins in eternal life. Confessing, I'm a sinner. God, I got these issues. Help me. Repent. Change the direction in which you're going. If the Bible says the wages of sin lead to death, repent means flip a U-ey. Flip a U-ey and change the directions and head to the cross. Believing that Jesus died on the cross and raised from the dead and lives, and receiving the forgiveness of sins and eternal life. Some of us here right now are in the church, and you've done this, you've confessed, you've repented, but you don't believe what Jesus said when he says it is finished. You keep getting tripped up in your past, and you're like the Israelites. You're in the desert. It was an 11-day journey. He's like, leave the old life, Egypt, which represents the world. 11-day journey to the promised land, right? Full of milk and honey, and it represents the spirit of life. Freedom, grace, just not living in your past. But those guys were looking at the past the whole time. And some of us are in the dry desert, and you're just being tripped up on your past life, and you've never experienced the freedom of the promised land. And that's through faith in Jesus Christ, sacrificing his life, shedding his blood on the cross over 2,000 years ago. Jesus said this in John 3:16-17. He said that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever, from the homeless to the presidents of the United States, that believe that he died and raised from the dead would live, and their name would be written in the book of life. And he goes on to say in the next verse, God didn't send his son into the world to judge the world, but to save the world. He's not condemning you. He wants to save you. He's going to walk with you. He's going to transform you. He's going to sanctify you. You're roughly out around the edges. He's going to chip away, and he's going to do the work in you. He's going to, he who began a good work is going to complete it until Christ's return. And guess what? Jesus Christ is not a third world construction worker. He doesn't start a job, lay a couple of bricks of foundation, and walk off the job for a siesta. He comes back and he builds it and he completes it all the way to completion. He will never leave you and he will never forsake you. And that's through faith in Jesus Christ, sacrificing his life. Continuing, John chapter 12, verse 31 to 34. I do a lot of ministry in South America and in Mexico. My dad's born in Mexico City, so God's opened the doors and given me the keys of Mexico with all the government. They just let us in and preach the gospel, and it's not even legal. So it's awesome, you know? So with that said, God's not a third world construction worker. He gets it done. John chapter 12, verse 31. Then Jesus said, the time for judging this world has come, when Satan, the ruler of this world, will be cast out. And when I'm lifted up from the earth, I will draw everyone to myself. He said this to indicate how he was going to die. The crowd responded, we understood from the scriptures that the Messiah would live forever. Just who is the Son of Man? How can you say the Son of Man will die? Just who is the Son of Man anyway? Jesus responds, my light will shine with you just a little longer. Walk in the light while you can, so the darkness will not overtake you. Those who walk in the darkness can't see where they're going, so put your trust in the light. Then you will become children of the light. So we have two options here today. We either become children of the light or children of the corn. If you're that age, you got that. I was young. All right. Children of light or children of the darkness? Now let's talk about walking in the darkness versus walking in the light. I was leaving on a tour one night and I had my bag and I wanted to be quiet. My wife's a light sleeper. We got the kids. So I get my bag and I have all the lights off. I'm leaving at 3 o'clock in the morning. I go to go down my stairs. I missed the first stair. I left my travel bag at the top and I went flying through the air. In skateboarding, we call it scorpion, where you land on your chest and you slap your hands and your feet go up over your back. I was going into a scorpion, but I was a ninja and I got out of it and I survived. So then I went back and got my bag and I was trying to escape again the house without making more noise. I opened the back door to go out to the garage. I opened the door, I hit a box and I go flying this time. I whacked my face on the garage door to go outside. With that said, that was a box of dishes and pots my wife told me the night before to take out. Okay, in the dark, you're gonna get hurt bad or you're gonna die, okay? We know that. But if I have the light, I can see where I'm going, right? This is basic stuff, simple. Imagine being in a battlefield or a war zone where you're fighting in the day versus night. My friend, I never went to war, but we used to have BB gun battles because we grew up when there's no paint guns. So we had a one pump roll. We're like one pump below the waist. But my friend Chongo, he was about 2 to 3 pumps away. So I boom, 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 shot the BB gun. He dropped to get away. Boom, right in the forehead. Big old fat knot. I had to pop it out. The BB's like, boop, popped out of his forehead. Now, that was daytime. I saw my enemy and I took him out. But what if I was fighting at night and Chongo had night vision? I would have the BB in my face. That's our life without the light of Christ and what the illumination of the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. It says it's a lamp to our feet. But why am I talking about a battlefield at night and not being able to see your enemy? Because there's a war outside of time and space that affects what's happening inside of time and space. It's called spiritual warfare. But don't trip potato trip, because 1 John 4:4 says this: you are of God, little children, and you have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. And I will prove it to you. I was teaching at my dad's church and this girl came up to me. She says, I'm hearing voices and they're telling me to take my life. And I said, okay. And James, it says, anoint them with oil. Come to the elders of the church, lay hands on them, and you confess your sins and the prayer of a righteous person, you will be healed. So we just hold God to his word, right? Because he's not a liar. Anoint her with oil. We pray for her. She leaves. 4 years later, she comes back and goes, Ryan, you remember you prayed for me this and this? I'm like, I remember. I remember all the stories. I'm like, I remember you. She goes, I'm now a cop in the LAPD. All that stuff left me. I got healed that day and the rest is history. That you could clap on that. And just a disclosure, these are just the warm-up stories for revival night stories, okay? The revival night stories can be way crazier. All right. So then I was in New York at a church up there in Yonkers, and the youth pastor said, hey, there's a kid here. His mom brought him to us because on his phone, he's playing video games, he's watching pornography, and other things that are going on. Oh, and he's looking up ways online how to take the life of his mom and dad, okay? Gnarly stuff. So he brings me him. He doesn't know that I know. And I walk up, and I look at him, and he just looks horrible. And I go, dude, you do not look good. I'm like, do you want to live like this? You're young. You're 15. Do you want to just give your life to Christ, be set free, and not be depressed and suicidal and miserable and all whatever's going on in your head? And he said, yes. And I said, I walked him, you know, through the gospel. He repented. I laid hands on him. We prayed. He got filled with the Spirit and he started smiling immediately. Next thing you know, he went out. He starts running around the youth group, playing with the kids, eating pizza. And his dad's an atheist and his mom's a Christian. And he goes, what did you do to my son? He goes, I have not seen my son run around or smile in 3 years. He's been lazy and lethargic and just messed up. So basically what happens is he basically got set free, because who the son sets free is free indeed. And then I was in Idaho at a big church like this, like a Calvary Chapel up there with a private school. And they had me speak to all their students, middle school and high school. And this young girl comes up to me and comes up to me after. And she's 11 years old. She looks like my kids. Like, she's like a little blonde hair, and she's crying. And I'm just like, just so sad at this point. Cause I'm just like, it just reminds me of my daughter or something. Like, it just makes me mad, you know, very angry when I see the enemy taking control of people's lives. And she goes, Ryan, I can't feel God. And she says, will you pray for me? And I'm like, I just prayed for everyone. What are you talking about? I go, why can't you feel God? She says, my mom says I have a demon in me. And my dad, and I go, well, does something take over your body? And she says, yes. And I said, well, what happens when it does? She says, I start cutting myself. So then I think about the demoniac. He was demon possessed. And when he was possessed, he would cut himself because there's nothing new under the sun. The scriptures have everything that we need to know. So I was with the pastor, which was actually here in last service. And then the principal, and I said, can I cast this demon out right here? Or are we going to go somewhere else? He goes, do it right here. So I said, in Jesus' name, you know, what's your name, unclean spirit? She manifests in Jesus' name. I command you to leave. And she got set free, and she's been set free ever since. So speaking of spiritual warfare, Ephesians 6 talks about this. It says, be strong in the Lord and his mighty power. Who is the Lord? It's Jesus Christ. The Lord is Jesus Christ. He was in the beginning and nothing was created except through him. So be strong in the Lord and his mighty power. What's his mighty power? It's the Holy Spirit that God the Father used to raise Jesus from the dead that indwells in you. Put on all of God's armor, not some, not a piece, so that you will be able to stand firm against all the strategies of the devil. For we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in the dark world, against evil spirits in the heavenly places. So we are at war with the devil and his demons. They're not visible, but invisible. And Satan and his demons don't eat or sleep. They're always plotting and planning to seek, kill, and destroy. And if Jesus Christ is not your Lord, then he's not your God. Therefore, you cannot put on all the armor to protect yourself in battle. And you might be using, right now, some of us are getting destroyed by the enemy as we speak because we're not reading, praying, or obeying. I used to always tell people, read and pray, and then the Holy Spirit's like, and obey. Because if you read and pray, you're religious. Who cares? Religion's dead and has no power. Read the Bible so God can speak to you. The Bible is the DNA of Jesus Christ. It's the inerrant word of God from Genesis to Revelations. You read it and he speaks to you. You hear his voice and you might be here and say, Ryan, I've never heard God's voice. Read the Bible out loud. Now you heard God's voice. And then you read it and then you pray. You talk back to God, you communicate, that's called relationship. And then you ask God to help you to obey and through the power of the Holy Ghost in your life, who indwells in you, who's with you, and his power will come upon you and flow through you. He will help you. It's very, actually the Holy Spirit, his name's called the Helper. He comes alongside to assist and the Comforter. This is what he does in our life. So read, pray, and obey. Write that down. Ephesians 6, continuing, verse 13 to 15 says this, therefore, put on every piece of God's armor so you will be able to resist the enemy in time of evil. Again, every piece, not some. Then after the battle, you will be standing firm. Stand your ground. Put it on the belt of truth and the body armor of God's righteousness. For shoes, put on the peace that comes from the good news so that you will be fully prepared. What does resist mean? Resist, very simple. You come at me with a knife. Someone goes, Ryan, you're not going home to your wife and kids tonight. I'm taking you out. You come at me, I'm about to do everything in my power. You are not touching me with that thing. That is called resist. I'm going to take you out in Jesus' name because I am going to resist and not do that. Because I'm going home to my wife and kids. Now, the question is, do we resist the enemy? Do we resist the enemy when the enemy is tempting us? Or are we like, you open the door, you're like, hey, come on into my house. You know, you're watching screen time that opens the doorways. You're like, come on into my house. Would you want to sit on my couch? You want some pizza? You want some, you want a coffee? Ice cream maybe? I mean, you want to stay for dinner? You want to go check out my kids' rooms? Like, do we allow Satan and his minions into our life? Or are we resisting the enemy in time of evil? Because if we resist, then after the battle, you will be standing firm. Stand your ground and resist. Continuing, in addition to all these, hold up the shield of faith to stop the fiery arrows from the devil. Satan loves to play mind games and shoot fiery arrows of lies from the pit of hell into your mind. Now, you could have a Navy SEAL that is a highly trained war machine, but if you get his mind, he's no good. That's what Satan wants to do. This is why the Bible says, take your mind captive with Christ. You can't believe the lie fight. He will cripple you so you don't do anything. And that's what he wants to do in our life with fear, anxiety. You know, what if this happens or this is going to happen? And most of the time that doesn't ever happen. He wants to cripple us. He wants our minds. So we need to prepare for spiritual warfare. But how? Continuing in Ephesians. Put on salvation as your helmet and take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. The Bible, it doesn't matter what size you have, your little app Bible, you got the big Bible or you got the pocket Bible. They all do the same damage. And the Bible, it's truth. So whatever you hear from the world, all this noise, that's why I wrote this book, Kill the Noise. All the noise in the world that's programming our mind and filling it with nonsense, you could get that and you could paste it to the Word of God and you could see what is truth and what is lies. It's called the biblical lens, right? Biblical lens of what's happening. And the Bible is the sword of the Spirit. Hebrews 4:12 says it's sharper than a two-edged sword. And guess what? It cuts through all the lies in your life. Continuing and ending, it says this in John chapter 12, verse 35 to 36. Jesus says, my light will shine with you just a little longer. Walk in the light while you can, so the darkness will not overtake you. Those who walk in the darkness can't see where they are going. So put your trust in the light while there's still time. Then you will become children of the light. And you might say here today, well, I've always believed in God. James says, even the demons believe and they tremble. And you might say, well, I believe the belief is true, but eternal life begins at the cross. You can't escape it. Jesus also said, you got to deny yourself, pick up your cross and follow me. So this is what I want to do because this church, it's a hospital. It's sinners saved by grace. And then there's people here that need to encounter God and give their life to God for the first time. Maybe you're here and you never given your life to God. And today's the day, and maybe you don't know, today's the day of salvation that you can confess and give your life to Christ. Maybe you're here and you walked away from God. I call it being on a detour route. You just got caught up. You got hit with a shiny object and they're pulling you and you just got off the course. The Bible says the highway to hell is broad and many choose that way, but the gateway to life is narrow and few ever find it. The few ever find it because it's difficult to deny self of the body appetites. But when you do, when you read, pray, and obey, you will find out why you're here on planet Earth. And God will show you your identity in Christ. And I used to think if I gave my life to God, my life was going to be boring. I'm still working in the music and skateboard industry. Even more doors have opened now because now I'm walking aligned with Christ and the plan that he put, that he embedded in my DNA of who I am and what I'm called to. And he has the same for you. God wants you to see. He just wants to see if you're going to give you. If I go, God, I give you this. I give you the music industry. I give you the skateboard industry. I give you my life. I'm done. And he holds it and he checks my heart. And then he realizes, no, Ryan's for real. He goes, okay, I'm going to give it back. That's what he does. So I'm going to call people forward right now because I want to pray for people. If you need to receive Jesus for the first time in your life, if you need to get right back with God in your life, or maybe you're a spirit-filled Christian, but the enemy has been tripping you up. And I know because he comes knocking at the door and he likes to get us tripped up into things from our past life that we got set free from. And whatever it is, and maybe you're just here and you're like, I need to get right with God. And I got strongholds and footholds that I cannot shake, but yet I'm a believing Christian. I love God, but I need breakthrough today. I want to call everyone forward and I want to pray over you right now. And I have the worship leader. He's going to sing a song, but respond to the Holy Spirit. This is why we're here. I call you by faith because when you come up here, you're like, God, I'm stepping out in an uncomfortable space because I want to be prayed for and I want you for breakthrough. I want to surrender. I want to be filled and I want to be delivered from what's going on. These little irritants in my life. And that's it. So go ahead and respond by faith. Because if you could do it in front here, in front of everyone, you could do it when you walk out that door. You're not going to go back to that old life or those old things. So we're going to sing And as the Spirit speaks to you, come forward. I'm going to pray for you. This is why we're here today. This is awesome. This is what it's about.
I trust in God, oh my Savior, the one who will never fail. He will never fail. 'Cause I trust in God, oh my Savior, the one who will never fail. He will never fail. 'Cause I trust in God, oh my Savior, the one who will never fail. He will never fail.
Respond to the Holy Spirit right now. I know there's more. And as God speaks to you, you're stepping out by faith. You're getting uncomfortable and you're going, God, I need to just lay it down for you today. I want to be all in. And I don't care what anyone thinks. The church is a hospital. It's a war out there. We get bandaged up and then we go back out. He's going to sing one more time, and this is the last call because I have to end for the next service. Respond to the Holy Ghost. Jesus is calling you today. Full surrender.
So I sought the Lord, and He heard, and He answered. I sought the Lord, and He heard, and He answered. I sought the Lord, and He heard, and He answered. That's why I trust Him. That's why I trust Him. I sought the Lord, and He heard, and He answered. I sought the Lord, and He heard, and He answered. I sought the Lord, and He heard, and He answered. That's why I trust Him. That's why I trust in God. Oh, my Savior, the one who will never fail. He will never fail. So I trust in God.
Before we pray, if there's any last ones, come forward. If your heart's beating fast, the Holy Spirit is drawing you. Respond. Respond, and we're going to pray. This is the last call. Come now, and we're going to say a prayer. Don't miss this moment. God loves you. He got you. He brought you here for this moment in time. This is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. This is what it's all about. Beautiful. This is beautiful. This is what the church is for. I love it. All ages, beautiful. Okay, we're going to pray. And we're all going to pray together because our movement's called the Whosoever's. It's whosoever believeth. So we're all going to pray because we're all family. Let's repent. I'm going to lead you in a prayer and I'm going to pray over you guys. Let's all say, Jesus, please forgive me of all my sins. I repent. Fill me with the Holy Ghost. Wash me with the blood that was shed on the cross, making me white as snow, baptizing me with the fire and the power, and destroy what's not of you in my life, and set me free in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.